All right, good afternoon. Good to see you all. It's been a month now.
Sorry.
I was looking at your exam bulletin. It's that sheets. And I see the English congregation is growing. That's good. Maybe because of Pastor Christian is here. People would love to come to church now. That's good. Love to see, God's church doing well. We're going to close out the series on 2 Peter. We've been working through this short letter. It's only 3 chapters. And this is my 5th message. Sometimes you wonder, only 3 chapters. How come we would take 5 messages? Well, if you really want to spend time looking at what's going on, it will take some time. I hope you're not too bored. We're gonna finish everything today. I hope you enjoy what we have discovered. And to the end, the whole idea is so that you'll be reminded, or you will be instructed to pay special attention on certain things, okay? So we cannot just live life at all, okay, like sleeping, okay? We are sleeping through our days, okay? Sometimes we do things like this, but as Christian, we are not living, we are not sleep through everyday life. We are to be alert, we are to be awake, okay? We are to look around, we know what is going on, and we are not the savior, but on the other hand, we can contribute some differences, all right, in where God plays you. You know, if you allow God to make a difference in your life or through your life, there are a lot of things God can do. So you have to open up your eyes, you have to be wide awake every day when you go through life and ask the question, God, you know, what do you want me to do? Or how can you work through me? So that, you know, I can at least make a difference, you know, in where you place me. All right, so let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to, you know, finish the last part of 2 Peter together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you that we can be at your house. We thank you for brothers and sisters. We thank you for the growth this English ministry is experiencing right now. We pray that, Father, you continue to watch over this congregation. You continue to bring new people here. You continue to work through our leaders so that, you know, everyone here is being taken care of spiritually. And we can all find something that we can work together to build up your house. Father, you know, we are here for a purpose. And even though we may be small, but you love to be with, you know, to be with minority. And I think we can count ourselves a minority. So we pray that, Father, you will help us not just look at what we can or we cannot give, but our eyes are on you. It's all about you. Because you are the provider, you are the sustainer, and you are also the finisher. So we look to you for everything we need. It's not about what we can do or how much we can do or how many people we have. It's about how we can rely on you. And allow you to work through all of us here so that your church will be spread and your name will be exalted. So it is with this that we want to close out our study on 2 Peter. May you continue to guide us. May you continue to provide for us and point us to areas that we need to pay attention. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, can we have the next slide? All right, so the reason why there are different colors is because the yellow is the first message, the green were the second message, you know, and so on and so on. So, you know, by looking at the color, you know what each message is about, okay? So I'm not going to repeat, it's already on, you can see it on the screen. Next slide. So we're going to jump to today, the final 9 verses, okay? So if you want to ask, okay, what are we going to learn about the final 9 verses in 2 Peter chapter 3, which is verses 11 to 18. This will be the one pointer, okay? So, to wrap up the letter, Peter wants to help us to understand that we need to learn to do something while we are living in the end time. You know, in the previous chapters, we already say that we are already in end time. End time, in fact, is already more than 2,000 years ago. Okay? So, it, humanly speaking, it may be, wow, that is a long time. No, I mean, God eyes, you know, 2,000 years is nothing. So, we've been in the end time for a long, long time. A lot of time we look for clues, we look for signs, you know, you perhaps you hear people say, oh, there's war here, oh, there's earthquake here, there's blah, 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 blah. Jesus is coming. Okay? Yeah, those things are, Jesus said, those things have to happen. Okay? But they are not to tell you that Jesus is going to show up the next day. Okay? Don't be fooled by that. But you need to be aware. Like, for example, we have the wildfires. I don't know whether you're following the news. In Saskatchewan, how many of you have been to Saskatchewan? None? Oh, come on. I was there for 2 years in school. Yeah. So, currently, there's a wildfire in Saskatchewan, in Manitoba, Northern Ontario, they say. I'm not sure about that, but pray for that, because people there, they're losing either their possessions, their crops, they may lose their house, they may even lose their lives. So pray that God will send favorable weather so that the fire person can quickly put down the fire in that part of Canada. So, next slide. So, before we go on and talk about, you know, what do we do? How do we live our life in the end time? I want to bring you back to a very, very original. That is Acts chapter 1. That is before the final time when Jesus spoke to his disciples before he was taken up to heaven. Okay? So that is the final account. And I'm going to show you this with the MSG. How many of you know what is the MSG? Not the food that we eat. Okay? MSG is the Message Bible. Okay? So I'm going to read this, and you can see it on the screen, okay? When Jesus and his disciples met and ate meals together, Jesus told his disciples that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, meaning stay there, but must wait for what the Father promised. The promise you heard from me, John baptized in water, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon. Do you know how soon? Do you know how many days Jesus was on earth after his resurrection? Do you know how many more days he stayed around? 40 days. 40 days. It's in the book of Acts. Do you know when the Holy Spirit finally came? Huh? No. Do you know when the Holy Spirit came? It's called the Pentecost. Have you heard of that? Pentecost? Do you know what Pentecost means? The 50th day. So now we know that Jesus hang around after the resurrection for 40 days. And he asked here his disciples to wait. But at the time they didn't know. But then when you read Acts chapter 2, when Pentecost is the 50th day after what? Pentecost is after the resurrection, okay, is the 50th day. So they have to wait for 10 more days, and then the Holy Spirit finally came. But at the time, they didn't know that. So when they were together for the last time, the disciple asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Is it the time? Next slide. Jesus told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. In other words, what Jesus was telling his disciples is, that is none of your business. Okay? So, only it is God's business. What you will get is the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is trying to bring their focus back. They were focusing on the physical restoration of the kingdom of God. The physical, meaning Jesus will come, he will defeat the Romans, and he will destroy the Roman Empire, and Jesus will become the king. That was what they were thinking about. And Jesus tried to lead their thinking from that to, I want you to focus on what I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. That was Jesus' purpose. Do you see that they're thinking two different things? The disciples, they are thinking about the physical kingdom of God. Okay? And Jesus said, no, 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 that's not what I mean. I have in mind. What I have in mind is, just like what I have told you, my Father will send His Spirit, and He will come to you. And just wait for His coming. And when He finally comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. That is what Jesus had in mind. Okay? So, next slide. So, as I said, we have been living in the end time for a long, long time. Okay? We've been waiting, we're hoping that Jesus will come. We see this happen. A lot of people saying a lot of things. And seeing Jesus is not coming. So some people get discouraged. Some people lose the focus. Some people, it's just a bunch of, baloney, that kind of thing, Yeah, this is what they say on the church. This is what they say, from the Bible. But I have yet to see Jesus coming. All right? Of course, you don't know. Because Jesus already said, that is none of your business. Okay? But Jesus does give us a clue, which we also see that in the 2 Peter. And the clue is, Jesus' coming is like a thief. Okay? He never tell you when He's going to come. But He will tell you that He's going to come as a thief. What is the meaning of that imagery? What is the meaning of that picture? Is, on the one hand, you don't know when He's going to come. So don't ask. Don't ask. Is He coming? Don't ask the exact question, because He's going to come as a thief. You don't know. If you do know when the thief will come, then you will know. The other thing from the imagery is, because Jesus is coming as a thief, and you don't know when He's going to come, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You do nothing? Well, some people choose to do nothing, but that is definitely not what God wants you to do. Do nothing. So what do you need to do? You need to prepare as if the thief will come today. Every day. You carry that mindset. Okay? Jesus may come today. Jesus may come today. Jesus may come today. That is the mindset that you need to have. Because you don't know when He's going to come. You don't want to be caught. Right? So if you don't want to be caught unprepared, then your mindset is, He may come today. And because He may come today, what do? You prepare. So every day is about preparation. Because you don't know when He's going to come. And another thing is, you don't want to be caught unprepared. Right? How many of you like pop quiz? Like, you go to class, the teacher said, pop quiz! You don't like that, right? Because you're caught. I didn't read my thing, I didn't review, I didn't prepare, right? So that's why you hate pop quiz. So again, Jesus gave you enough clues. I'm gonna come as a thief. So because I'm gonna come as a thief, so you better prepare. Because you don't know when I'm gonna come. You don't want to be caught unprepared. That is the idea. That is the mindset. That is the way how you live your life. Okay, we'll talk about it a little bit more. Right now, just give you the concept. Later on, give you some examples. Okay? So, quickly, we're going to go through, some verses. As I read those verses to you, even though it may be a repeat because someone has already read the passage to you, but I want you to look at this by asking the question, what do you see? Very simple question. What do you see on the screen that I'm reading to you? What do you see? Keep asking yourself this question. All right? So, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. Coming to you from the EC English Bible. That's what the EEB means. EC English Bible. All right? Certainly, God will destroy everything in this way one day. He's referring to what He just said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 If you don't know what he's talking about, if you need a reminder, open up your phone to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Take a quick look. Alright? So, think about how you should live now. You should be kind. You should be the kind of people that God is happy about. This is part of what I said. You prepare. How do you prepare? You should be kind. You should be the kind of people that God is happy about. Ask yourself this question. Are you living in such a way that you think God is happy with how you're living your day? A good question. Is God happy with how you live your life today? Okay? You should be the kind of people that God is happy about. You should show that you belong to God. Thus, what you do every day shows you or indicates to you that you belong to God. What do you mean? Well, you do things that remind you that you belong to God. Like what? Well, like as a Christian, you pray. So when you pray, the action of prayer reminds you that you belong to God because God teaches you to pray. This is how you communicate with Him every day. When you read your Bible, reading the Bible reminds you that you belong to God. When you give offerings, offering, the whole idea reminds you that you belong to God. Why do I have to give to the church? Why don't I just spend it on myself, right? You know that you're Christian. Part of what you're Christian is, the church or your pastor will teach you to give. Give to who? Give to God through the church that you're part of. Okay? When you worship like this afternoon, when you gather together to worship, the idea of worshiping God together reminds you or confirms the fact that you belong to God. You see what I'm saying? So those things that you do reminds you that you belong to God. Yes, you should continue to obey God while you are waiting for Christ's return. Another example. What do I do as I'm waiting for Him? You continue to obey God. See, sometimes you get mixed up. And sometimes some pastor is not doing any service. When they teach you obedience, they teach you to obey them, meaning the pastor. Okay? When we talk about obedience in the Bible, first and foremost, it's not human being. If anyone, I don't care, if I teach you to obey human, then you should not listen. Because obedience is first and foremost to God. Right? We are here to follow God. We're here to learn to obey God. Well, they say, well, what about obeying human beings? Well, there are a lot of scenarios. For example, you obey God, and then God will teach you to obey your parents. You see how it works? It's not, oh, I obey my parents above God. No. You get it wrong. You obey first and foremost God. And as you obey God, God will teach you to obey your parents. You obey God, God will teach you, generally speaking, to obey your government. That's why you pay taxes. Right? We need to pay taxes. Because that is the way to obey the human government. But generally speaking, that is the general obedience we give to governments. Because all authority, all, not just some, all authorities comes from God. All. Okay? You obey God, and then generally speaking, you obey your boss. Those of you who are working. Why do I obey my boss? Well, because when I obey God, God teach me, generally speaking, I need to obey my boss, or supervisors, or anyone above me. Is that what I'm saying? This is how it works. So obedience is first and foremost to God. And then as you learn to obey God, He will teach you, He will tell you how you relate to one another. How you relate to things in the physical realm of things. Okay? Alright. Try to live in a way that will make that day come soon. On that day, fire will burn the whole sky. The sky will no longer be there. Heat will destroy the universe. But God has promised to make a new sky and a new earth. This is what we're waiting for. That will be a home for everything that is good and right. Our physical life on earth is not our final destiny. I hope you know. Okay? Even though there are so many things that we like, we enjoy, we have nice memories, but our life on earth, this present earth, is never your final destiny. Okay? So, you only live here for 50 years, 70 years, 90 years. Well, we have the oldest senior here. I don't know, she's in her 80s, right? 90s. Oh, wow. 90 years old. Okay? That is roughly how long we live. One day, our life on the physical side of things will come to an end. And sometimes even Christians are afraid of dying. They don't talk about death. Of course, we don't talk about death all the time. But the thing is, you don't have to be afraid of death. There are Christians who are still afraid of death. Okay? We don't need to be afraid of death because God has already told us everything that we need to know about death. Someone said, when we die, it's just a door to allow us to enter into eternity. Death is sort of like a swing door. It's not forever. And death, we will be ushered into eternity. Eternity is our final home. So when you die one day, here, you go home. This is not your home. You need to know that. Okay? Doesn't matter how young you are, or how middle age you are, or how old you are. We're all going to die one day. But death is not something that is very, very frightening. You do not need to be afraid of death. You can stare at death and say, ha ha ha. I win when I die. I win when I don't die. Whether I die or not, I win. This is what the Bible says. You win in any case. But when you die, you go home. Okay? So, next slide. My friends, remember I asked you the question, what do you see when I read those verses to you? My friends, while you're waiting, you should make certain the Lord finds you pure, spotless, and living at peace. Now, ask yourself this question. Are you currently living pure, spotless, not perfect? Okay? The Bible never talks about perfect to us, because we will never be perfect, at least on this side of things. But the Bible is talking about spotless. There's a difference between spotless or innocent and perfect. You're not called to be perfect, but you're called to be spotless or innocent. Are you currently living at peace in the church, at your house, or among your relatives, at your work? Are you a troublemaker? Are you stirring up troubles, or are you making peace? It's very important. In your school, are you the instigator, or are you the peacemaker? Okay? You are to live your life pure, spotless, living at peace. Don't forget that the Lord is patient because He wants more people to be saved. This is also what our dear friend Paul said when he wrote you with the wisdom that God had given him. Paul talks about these things in all his letters, but part of what he says is hard to understand. Some ignorant and unsteady people talking about the false teachers, okay? Even destroy themselves by twisting what Paul said in his letters. They do the same thing with other scriptures too. Next slide. My friend, you already know about these false teachers, so be very careful that you do not believe those bad people. Okay? So, not let them lead you away from God. You know what is true, so do not leave that safe place. Instead, you must grow as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, who saves us. Continue to know Him better and better. He will be kind to you, and He will help you more and more. We praise Him as He deserves. He is great now, and He will be great forever. And that is how the letter ends. So, what do you see? You know, I have already shown you three slides. What do you see in those scriptures that Peter is talking about? Next slide. Let me just sum up into these main points. Number one, if you ask, well, how are we to live our life while we are waiting for Jesus' second coming? Number one, you don't stop getting better and better in your character development prescribed in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. This is what you do and how you wait for the second coming of Christ. Now, when you read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, I want you to read it in the Message version, because the Message version, those description helps you understand how things, or if you still don't know what it's talking about, you can go back to my first message. The good thing is they take messages and they put it on your website. So go find out the first message when I went through that with you. But the main thing here is, you keep on focusing on your character development. That is how you continue to live your life while you're waiting for Jesus' second coming. That is how you prepare your mindset. Remember, you don't know when the thief will come, but you live your life as if he's coming today. So I'm going to prepare myself. So we will apply that into our Christian living, is focus on what Peter talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. There are 8 character qualities. Focus on those. Make sure that you're getting better and better and better and better. You may say, well, I'm already doing good. Good. Get better. Always ask yourself, get better than where you are right now. Right? Better than the day before, at least. Keep challenging yourself. Getting better. Don't just say, oh, I'm already good, I can stop. Don't have that kind of mindset, because when you stop, you fall behind. You don't stop. You keep asking, how can I do better than yesterday? That is what business people do. That is what successful business people do. How can I do better than yesterday? How can I do better than yesterday? You may not own a business, but you need to think like a business person. How can I be better in my character development than the me yesterday? Okay? So keep thinking about that. Don't just think about this when you gather together in your small group, in your Sunday school or whatever, when you just casually chat with one another, share your secrets. Okay? Some of you are doing better than others. Share your success. Share your failures. Share with one another so that you can help each other out. Don't just figure it out yourself. Well, there's your part of figuring it out, but there's a bigger part that you share among yourself. That's why God put all of us in a church context. It's so that we can grow together. How can we grow together? We share with one another. You share your success. You also share, if you are so daring enough, share your failures. God can use your failures if you're willing to share. Okay? And that is how we grow. That is how we learn from one another. You don't figure everything out by yourself. That is not the Christian way. There's a place for that, but there's another place, is corporately, we share. We grow together. We study together. We challenge each other. That is how we grow. Alright? So make sure every day you ask yourself, how can I be a better person than the me yesterday? Okay, number two. We also seek opportunity to witness to non-believers whenever possible, because we are taught that Christ's apparent delay, quote-unquote, is God's merciful desire over their repentance. There's a reason God seems to be delaying. Peter is already talking about that. And he connects that with, it is because God wants more people to be his children. Okay? So you're right in the middle of everything. So why do you think God leave you in the middle of everything? is so that you can have a part of sharing the gospel. You are the witnesses for Jesus. Your specific reason right now that you're still living here is not to just work. It's not just to earn money. Sometimes we Christians think things like non-Christians. Give you an example. Why do you go to work? Get my paycheck. Right? You don't have to be a Christian to think about that. Non-Christian is already thinking about that. I like the way Joseph answered his brother, God sent me to Egypt. He was sold by his brothers, right? But this is not what Joseph said. God sent. You know, he used the word send is the word we use for missionary today. You should look at yourself every day when you go to work. You don't go to work because of the paycheck. That is That is not your mindset. God sent you to your particular workplace so that you can be a missionary in where God placed you. The same thing goes with those of you who go to study. God particularly sent you to your particular school so that you can be a missionary in that school. You can be a witness to the non-Christians among you. Get that? And while you're doing that, God pays you for the work that you do. That explains why you get a paycheck every month. So you go to work first and foremost, you're a missionary. You're sent to the school, to the workplace, so that you can be the witnesses. Well, I don't know how to share. Well, you just need to be a witnesses. Very simple. Before you eat your meal, you say grace. How many of you do that in school? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. You know, sometimes we're so afraid when we eat our lunch before we go, oh, we finish praying and then we eat. Yeah, just like what he did. That is how we pray, because we're scared. We're scared, you know, we're afraid that people look at us and we're praying before we eat our meal. We are witnesses for God. And if you're afraid of saying grace before you eat your meal in front of everyone or among your friends, there is a problem. Ask yourself, why are you afraid? Is it because you don't want them to know that you're a Christian? Christian is not a secret thing. You know that? There's no thing as called secret Christians. Okay? You don't advertise to people, but at least you're not shy away to let people know that. You don't have to use your mouth sometimes. Just a very simple thing, you say grace before you eat in front of people, among your friends, is already a statement. Sometimes word is cheap. You use your behavior, you use what you do to let people know that, what were you doing? Oh, I was praying. Why do you pray? Well, because I'm a Christian. Everything began with what you do. And sometimes people will ask you, why are you doing this? Well, because I'm a Christian. Well, what does it mean you're a Christian? Then gives you an open opportunity to let people know why you believe in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to advertise that you're a Christian, but at least you're not shy away to let people know, I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus. You are a missionary. Change that mindset. You don't go to work just to earn your paycheck. That is too low. Non-Christians do this. You're not a non-Christian. Why do you think like a non-Christian? You're a missionary. There's a reason why God put you in a certain school. Okay? It's purpose. It's done purposely. It's not an accident. There are a lot of non-Christian, you know, students at your school. Maybe a lot of your friends are non-Christians. Again, you don't have to advertise your faith. But you can do things that sometimes even your friend will have to ask you, hey, let's go out and do this on Sunday afternoon for your case, okay? And you say, no, I cannot. Why? I need to go to church. Oh, why do you go to church? Bingo, that is your opportunity. Okay? So you live your life as Jesus' witness. You do what a Christian is supposed to do, and doing it, whether it is you're privately or you're in a group or you're in public, you just do it as a normal thing, and people look at what you do, they will ask you, they may laugh at you, it's okay, go ahead, laugh. Right? But I'm a Christian, so that is where I stand. And they may ask you questions. And if they ask you a question, bingo, that is your opportunity. Okay? So understand that why Jesus is not coming back now or tomorrow is because he wants to give more people chances to believe in him. And people don't believe in God out of the blue or by accident. There must be some witnesses there. There must be his people whom God has placed strategically, so that when they look at you, when they look at your character, when you look at your work ethics, when you look at your integrity, they may first of all laugh at you, but if they see this consistently, then they will exchange their laugh or ridicule by asking you, why do you behave like this? Why do you do things like this? Bingo. That is your opportunity. Okay? So, starting tomorrow, when you go to school, when you go to play, when you go to the mall, when you go to your workplace, look at yourself. You're being sent. And the word sent means you're a missionary. Okay? You're being placed in a specific place. What is the purpose? So that you can be Jesus' witnesses. Final point. Our continuous growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is what keeps us from being deceived by false teachers and their false teachings. Why sometimes we may be deceived is because we don't know our stuff good enough. That goes to, how often do you read your Bible? How often do you pray? How often do you have small group? How often do you come together as a church? Okay? Even though we're not saying that if you do all these things, you will never be deceived. No, I'm not saying that. But if you are diligently doing what I just give to you as examples, you will not be so easily deceived because you know your stuff. You know that one of the descriptions that non-Christian give to people is, I don't know whether you have heard of that. They call Christians the people of the book. Have you heard of that? The people of the book. What book is talking about? Answer that. What book? Exactly. Why do they call us the people of the book? Because they see that there's something not magical, but powerful of the book. It's very, very powerful. It's a life-changing book because it is more than a book. Okay? In the Bible contains God's truth. And God's truth has the power to change lives. And non-Christian, they don't know all these things. They only see from the third person point of view, and they say, there's something powerful about that. So they coin that description, the people of the book. You are the people of the book. We are the people of the book. The question is, how good are you with the book? If you hardly read the Bible, then no wonder you're easily being deceived. Is that what I'm saying? You need to know the book. You need to spend time studying the book. You need to interact with one another on the book. You need to practice what you have learned from the book. Then you will not be easily deceived. Remember what I say? One of the things that false teachers would love to do is, they already know that they're going to hell. Okay? But while they're going to hell, They want to pull people down. And I hope you're not one of them. Okay? Because their intention is so clear. I'm going to hell. I'm going to bring you down with me to hell. So if you don't want to go to hell, focus on the book. Okay? Don't just study. Don't just understand. Don't just memorize. Those are good things. After you do all these things, make sure you apply what you've learned. Because it's the application that allows you to experience God. Okay? The Bible said, God take care of you, right? On paper or in true form, you believe it. But now, can you tell me in real life how God take care of you? Can you give me your real life example? That God takes care of you? That is what I mean by application. I can tell you a lot of stories. Let me just tell you one small one. Some of you know. At one time of my life, before I came to this current church that I'm serving, there is one whole year, 12 months, that I had no work. I didn't work for an entire year from June 30th to the July 1st of next year, one whole year, exactly 1 year. I had no work. I have a family of four to feed. Okay? How can I live through that year? Well, now I can tell you because I'm through. And some of you know my story. And during that year, I saw how God provides for my family through some of you and many others. Okay? I can tell you many, many stories. And I lived through that exactly one whole year. No work. But we were more than surviving. God worked through His church, some of you, to support us until we finally land at the church that I'm serving right now. And I told some of you, we have found the church. We're going to start on this day. You can start supporting us. Not all of you. I told some of you. Okay? And that is how the whole thing ended. So God took care of me and my family exactly 1 year. That is how I not just know that God takes care of His people. I live through that. When you say something from the Bible, when you cite something that you learn from the Bible, you confirm that with your own life experience. You see what I'm saying? If you have your life experience to back up what you say, you have credibility. You have power in what you say. And God wants you to interact with His word like this. Of course, I don't want you to go through no work for 1 year like what I've gone through. I'm not saying that. I don't want you to have that kind of experience. But there are many other opportunities that God can show you that He is more than capable of taking care of you and your family. So when you say God takes care of His people, well, use your unique life circumstances to back it up. And then you will come to see that it's more than just word. It's power. God's word has power. And that is the thing that you need to have the experience with. And that will change your mindset. It will change your life. It changed my life that year. In fact, more than that year. But it changed my life. I'm still using those examples that year that I had experienced in my own church. When I preach from time to time, I let my people know what I have gone through, how God has worked through some of you, so that we were able to, you know, live through that year. Those experiences can be a blessing for people who are listening. It changed my life. It changed my perspective. So that's why when I say God takes care of people, I have my own unique story to back it up, and I hope you will do it. Okay? So do the best you can. Don't just study, don't just memorize. Ask the question, how can I put what I understand to work? You do this every day. And that is the kind of lifestyle that you maintain while you're waiting for Jesus' second coming. God is not asking you to do extreme things. He's simply asking you live your everyday life, but with me in it. Doesn't matter what you do in your life, make sure you include Jesus into what you do. Sort of like, let's say you go to bed, I go to bed in the name of Jesus. Why? Well, because the Bible said I am to take good care of my body, right? Those of you who don't sleep, you're destroying your body. That is not what the Bible is teaching you. The Bible said your body is the spirit temple. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you destroy your body, your physical body, you're destroying the spirit that resides in your physical body. Take good care of your body. Take good care of your mind. Take good care of your emotions. Take good care of your everyday life. Take good care of your relationships. Do everything with Jesus in it, with Jesus' mindset in it. Okay? So Jesus is not asking you to do crazy things. He's simply live your normal day life, everyday life, but with me in it. That will be enough. And that is the mindset that you need to have as you live through this end time. You don't know when Jesus is going to come. Don't even ask that question anymore. But understand that Jesus told you, I'm going to come like a thief. So he may come today. You don't want to be caught not prepared. So if you don't want to be caught not prepared, what do? You prepare. I have told you how you can prepare yourself. So now you understand it. Take this. Take a picture and put those things into practice. Pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here serving your people. Thank you again for leading us through 2 Peter, teaching us not only about the importance of spiritual character development, also learning how to spot false teachers or false teaching, or how we can refute them. The final chapter is about what we can do while we are still living in the end time. And thank you for reminding us that more than anything, the character development is very important, because people look at our character, and it is our character that can separate Christians and non-Christians. And it's also the practice of this spiritual character development that allow us to be good witnesses. A lot of time, people, they don't want to listen to our message. It's not because our message is not good. It's because our behavior destroys what we say. When they look at our behavior, they don't want our message. But what if our character, our behavior is very attractive? Then I'm sure they may be interested to hear about what we have to say about the message. Lord, please help us. Please direct us so that we can work hard to become the people of the book. And we work hard and understanding it and put it into practice so that we can become people of your power. Your word has power. So may your power first go through us, and then with our life, we can also show that power to people around us. We don't go to school just for the sake of study. We don't go to work just for the sake of the paycheck. We are missionaries. We are Jesus' witnesses in where you strategically place us so that we can help as many people to come to know you as possible. You have given all of us an awesome responsibility. May we embrace that. May we open to that and allow you to work through us so that we can explain to our non-Christian friends, this is how you can become God's children, Jesus' followers. And they will accept our message because they have already seen the final product in the way we live our lives. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we will have communion. And before we have communion, can we...